To all who are beloved of God and Hawaii, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to be here. You guys were supposed to say amen after that. You guys are a very friendly church, and you smile, you extend a handout, you ask for my name, so I'm so grateful. And I'm grateful to Danny Bay, my very good friend and former roommate. And it is him who talked with Pastor Dan and told Pastor Dan that after graduation that I went on to and currently serving in Haiti. And Pastor Dan reached out and extended the invitation. So this is extremely kind of him and kind of you, for you supported our ministry. So life in Haiti is good, despite what you may hear about Haiti in the news. There are many challenges, but we've been serving there for 11 years, and the Lord has blessed us tremendously. The Lord has been blessing the ministry. Our main focus is the training of pastors, and that's how we come alongside the local church to equip their pastors so that God's word may be proclaimed more faithfully and be represented more faithfully through faithful Christians in Haiti. So continue to pray for Haiti. Next week, you'll get a full report. But for this week, I could give you a homework assignment. You can just Google Haiti. And you may come back next week weeping and crying, but you'll be encouraged to know that in the midst of all the heartaches, God is building his church. I do have prayer card if you prayer cards, if you want just to have our information. This is an old picture, but it has our information on the back, so you can just grab one if you want to stay connected with us. So let us go to God's Word, Isaiah chapter 40. Verses 6 through 8. Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 8. I'll be reading from the New American Standard Version. Verse 6. A voice says, call out. Then he answered, what shall I call out? All flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. The word of God for the people of God, may God be glorified and may we be edified. Bow with me in prayer. Father, we give thanks to you, for you are worthy of all our praises. And now we come asking that you would use me to serve your people in the next 30 minutes. Asking that we as a people, we would be attentive and that your Holy Spirit would bring about needed convictions so that we may obey you more, thus serving you better. We entrust ourselves unto your care, for you are the God who cares for us, and we pray in Christ's name. And God's people said, amen. I've entitled this sermon, A Funeral Sermon for the Living. a funeral sermon for the living. The reason for this title, I've preached this sermon at a funeral. But the clearest reason for the title is in light of the text, because the text speaks of us one day dying. So with that in mind, I want us to focus on three lessons that we can gain from this text that will help us make our way as we move towards dying. Amen? Very encouraging thought. Book of Isaiah, wonderful book, 66 chapters. As some call it the full Bible because of the division. 1 through 39, we could say we have the Old Testament, which is considered God's message of judgment upon the people of Judah. 40 to 66, which most would compare to the New Testament, is the message of hope, the message of restoration and grace. There is a clear flow to the book. If we set the context, chapter 39, beginning in verse 5, I will read for us. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord of hosts. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and all that your fathers have laid up in store to this day will be carried to Babylon. Nothing will be left, says the Lord. And some of your sons will issue from you, whom you will beget, will be taken away, and they will become officials in the palace of the king of Babylon." Then Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good." For he thought, "For there will be peace and truth in my days." The Bible is extremely honest. So we're coming to the end of the first part of Isaiah's book, and we see Hezekiah, which we all would classify as a decent king, a good king. But yet, when Isaiah shares the message, the proclamation, that he will have sons, and his sons will not serve the land, that his sons will be taken away to be servants of other kings. Hezekiah simply says, "Lord, I'm grateful. This ain't gonna happen in my day." So as we come to the end of this first part in this glorious book, one may be wondering, well, is this it? Is this is how the story of the people of God will end? And Isaiah comes in chapter 40 and says, no, this is not how the story will end. There is a message of hope. There is a message of restoration. So we read in verse 1 of chapter 40, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak kindly to Jerusalem and call out to her that her warfare has ended, that her iniquity has been removed, that she has received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins." A voice is calling, "Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God." And I love this in verse 4. "Let every valley be lifted up." Can you picture the valleys being lifted up? And you may ask yourself the question, why? "And every mountain and hill be made low." Can you picture the hills being made low? And you're asking, why, Isaiah? "And let the rough ground become a plain and the rugged terrain a broad valley." Why? Verse 5, Isaiah tells us why. "Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed." The weightiness of the Lord. All of the attributes of God. The very presence of God will be revealed. That is the hope for the children of Israel. And all flesh will see it together. for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. That's the context where we come to verses 6 and 8, where we seek to learn these three lessons from the very mouth of God through the prophet himself, Isaiah. And here's the first lesson. As we make our way towards death, amen. Amen. As we make our way towards that day where we will be laid out in a coffin and our loved ones will be telling stories and will be in tears, and that funeral will be more for them and not for us because our spirit would have left our bodies. So as we make our way towards death, let us always remember that God speaks. God speaks. So as we live, let us always remember that God speaks. A voice says, call out. That is the voice of God speaking to the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah answered, what shall I call out? And God tells him what he ought to say. So in life, as we live, as we make our way towards death, let us always remember that God speaks. A quick little survey or biblical theology of tracing the theme of God's word throughout Scripture, I can give you three references. First one, Genesis, the first book of the Bible. And in verse 3 and throughout the first chapter, there's a phrase that is repeated again and again. And that phrase is, God said. God said. So from the very beginning, God wants us to know that he speaks. The book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verses 1 through 2. The author writes, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Again, the author of Hebrew wants us to know that God speaks, and he spoke through his Son, Jesus Christ. Another reference, John chapter 14, verse 26. And this is Jesus himself speaking to his disciples. Before his death, he says, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. The apostles, the Holy Spirit would come and fill them, and they would remember all of the teachings that Jesus himself taught them. And they would write for us the New Testament. And those who are close to them, who are close to their ministry, the Holy Spirit would use them as well to give us these 27 books we have in the New Testament. So the first lesson for us, the living, we must know, we must always remember that God speaks, and he speaks through his word. So as you make your way towards death, may every morning you would rise up and know that God speaks. Let me get his word. Let me grab my Bible. Let me read. Let me hear God speaking to me so that I may know how I ought to live and make my way towards death. When I was little, as an acrostic for the word Bible, it was taught to me by my Sunday school teacher. Bible, basic instructions before leaving earth. It is God speaking to us. And I do have a book. And the reason I highlight these books wherever I go, wherever the Lord affords me the opportunity to preach and to talk about More Than Bread and what God is doing in Haiti, I highlight these books because these books have been translated in French. The academic language in Haiti is French. And with these books, we've been using them to equip the pastors so that they can know that God speaks, so that they can be committed to God's word and proclaim his word to his people. So here's a great introduction to the doctrine we call bibliology, the doctrine of the Bible. A great introduction written by Kevin DeYoung, taking God at his word. Taking God at his word. This text has been translated in French, and I've used it in my doctrine classes. So I will give this to anyone. First come, first serve. So after the service, if you come up to me and you say, well, I would like to have this book, I'll give it to you, and I'll just say, make me one promise. What's the promise? I will read it. I will read it. So this will be my gift to you. Another text that will highlight the importance of God's word, written by the late R.C. Sproul, also translated in French, and we've used this in our bibliology courses. Can I trust the Bible? Can I trust the Bible? Again, right after the sermon or after the benediction, may I have this book? First come, first serve, and it's yours. You can read it during this week. It's a quick read, and it will encourage your heart so that you may trust the Bible even more. So R.C. Sproul, Can I Trust the Bible? So in life, we must know that God speaks. Second, we, as we make our journey towards death, we must have a proper understanding of who we are. We must have a proper understanding of who we are. The text says, all flesh is grass, and all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The flesh, that's us, that's our body. The text says we're lovely. The text compares us to flowers of the field. One thing that I love to do in Haiti is farming. And we built our home on more than 5 acres of land that my grandfather purchased 90 years ago for $100. More than 5 acres. So I'll hire my neighbors and they will farm. We'll plant corn and we'll have plantains, potatoes, beans, and nothing is more beautiful in the morning just to go into the field and to watch my beans coming up or to watch the corns just rising up. It is so beautiful. It just brings life to me. It's beautiful, and that's what the text is saying. When we're born, we're just lovely. We're beautiful. I mean, when you grab a baby, the baby's breath doesn't smell, right? You grab a baby and you just get close to the baby. You just want to kiss the baby and you smell the breath. Wow, just fresh. Then the teeth will start coming in and they'll start eating more. And then we have to brush, right? Because then the breath is no longer as fresh. That's us. We come into life full of potential, just full of life. And Jesus and God is saying to us, we matter. We matter. Psalm 8, verses 4 through 6. What is man that you are mindful of him? And the son of man that you care for him, yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. So God's word tells us that we're much. We matter. Let me do something very traditional that I do back at home. I'll speak to the congregation. Touch your neighbor and say, you matter. You're much. James 3, verse 9. Brother James encourages us not to curse our fellow man. Why? Because we're created in the image of God. James wants us to know that your fellow man is very significant. They matter to God. So we must have that proper understanding of ourselves. But we are much. We must also know we ain't that much. We ain't that much. Where you see that in the text? The grass that was so lovely, like the flower of the field. The text says the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows upon it. The same God who breathes life into us is the same God who will blow on our flesh, and our flesh will be no more. So in life, we must know that we're much, but we must also be mindful that we ain't that much. Brother James tells us in James chapter 4, verse 14, you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears briefly and then vanishes. I mean, it seems like not so long ago, my mother was dressing me up for the first day of school. And I just looked up and I'm 44 years old with a wife and two daughters. Just like that, like a vapor. We appear for a moment and then we're gone. So we must be reminded. We're much, but we're not that much. That our life is solely dependent upon the sovereign hand of God. I have a dear friend of our family, and she's one of my wife's best of friends. As a child, she had cancer, and she had to go through radiation. And now in her mid-40s, she's enduring the repercussion of that radiation. And she's currently blind and has a host of sicknesses. Every year we come, we have a family tradition where we go out to this pizza place called Shakey's. And this year we went to Shakey's. And I've had one question that I've asked everyone throughout my visit this summer. The question is, what are you most happy about in this season of your life? What are you most happy about? And I asked my dear friend that question. And she said, I'm most happy about God's sovereignty. I'm most happy knowing that God is sovereign over my sickness. I'm happy knowing that God is sovereign over my situation. And as we remember that we're much, but we're not that much, this ought to be the place where we as believers should find our hope that we are in the hands of God. The God who breathes life into us is the same God in his complete sovereignty who will breathe and we will be no more. Third, in life, as we make our way towards death, let us not be dependent on this flesh. Let us not be dependent on the flesh. Verse 8, The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Now, I will come back to this, but before I make my way back, let me highlight the second book related to our second life lesson in terms of how we view ourselves. It's a short book, Are People Basically Good? By Dr. R.C. Sproul. Just knowing who we are as human beings, okay? It's very critical in how we view ourselves and how we view other people. So are people basically good after the service? You just have to say, give me that one. And I'll say, sure. What's the promise? And you will say, I'll read it. And I'll say, God bless you. So in life, we must not depend on the flesh, but on the word of God. In life, do not depend on the flesh, but depend on the word of God. Paul warns his son in the faith, Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, Paul writes, training is of some good value. That's good. You know, my wife, she trains. She likes to walk and go on hikes, and she wants to exercise in the morning. And she encourages me to do that as well. Go for my little walk and be healthy. And that's good. Paul says it is of some value. Godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promises for the present life and also for the life to come. So I'm encouraging you to continue to exercise. Continue to eat food that will faithfully nourish the body properly. However, allow the word of God, allow the spirit of God working in you to dictate your exercise. What do I mean? Exercise for the glory of God. Exercise because you want to have more energy to serve God. Exercise because you want to be available to serve your children, your church, your family. Don't exercise to simply look in the mirror and show off your figure. That's the idea. You can exercise for the purpose of godliness if God's word is influencing your thought process concerning your exercise and your eating well. Am I making sense? If I am, say amen. Peter, Apostle Peter, writing to a group of Christians who were being persecuted for their faith. Peter quotes the words of Isaiah to them. And he quotes it in his first chapter as he wants them to focus on their salvation. He writes in verse 23 of chapter 1, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. And then Peter wants to show us, I've read Isaiah. He quotes Isaiah. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So Peter is summarizing all of God's word as God's good news. He summarizes all of God's word as the gospel. And for those of you who study biblical theology is basically reading the Bible as one complete story. And when we read the Bible as one complete story, we get the full gospel message. We see God's redemptive plan for us unfold through each book. And Peter is encouraging these saints who are being persecuted for their faith to remember the gospel, to remember the word of God that was preached to them. So as we make our way towards death, let us not depend on the flesh, because the flesh will fade, it will go, but let us depend on the word of God, and the word of God is a gospel message that was preached to us, and the gospel message is God's word from Genesis to Revelation. Him creating all of mankind. Mankind becoming disobedient unto him, and him unfolding the plan of how he will reconcile man to him, and that is through our Lord, our King, himself, Jesus the Christ. And in him, we will live forever. In him, we need not place our trust in our bodies, because if we place our trust and our faith in him, we will have heavenly bodies. We will serve him forever and ever. Last book. What is the gospel? By Greg Gilbert. This is not a tract. I believe Greg Gilbert wrote this book so that believers like you and me would be able to better understand the gospel message as we share it with our loved ones, with our neighbors, with our co-workers, etc. So what is the gospel? It's just Greg Gilbert walking through Romans 1 through 4 and walking through the Bible to explain the gospel message to us so that we can better internalize it and better share it with our neighbors, friends, and family. So as we make our way towards death, let us always remember that God speaks. Let us have a proper understanding of who we are. We're much, but we ain't that much. And let us not depend on the flesh, but let us always depend on the word of God. Our Father and our God, we're so grateful to you. You are kind, you are good, you are lovely. And each day we ask by your grace and mercy, we would draw nearer to you, we would draw nearer to your words, and that your word would transform our lives on this earth and would prepare us to meet you on that great day. We entrust ourselves unto your care, for you are the God who cares for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.